ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Hare Krishna. So, this is the most auspicious period of the Kartik period. So that's going on. And today is also the celebration of the anniversary of Sri Sri Adishara Bihari, our deities for ISKCON and Harrisburg. And it's also a celebration of Govardhan Puja, which actually occurred 2 days ago. Thursday was the day, but for people who are working purposes and so on, so it was pushed to today. So the three activities, spiritual activities going on today. The lecture is going to be twofold. We're continuing because we are in the Kartik period with Damodar Astakam prayers, and for time's sake, and also for the fact that we're going to talk a little bit about the Govardhan Puja last time, so we'll just deal with one verse of the Damodar Astakam today. The lectures have already started, so this is not going to be verse 1, it's going to be verse 5, actually, that's where we are now. So, this is from the Hari Bhakti Vilas. Idam te mukam bojam atyanta nilai vritam guntalai snigya rakta chagokina muhus chumbitam bimbam rakta arame manasya virashtam alam lakshalahe. The translation is, your supremely enchanting face, encircled by shining locks of dark blue curling hair, resembles the fully blossomed lotus tinged with a reddish luster. Due to being kissed again and again by Mother Yashoda, may this vision of your lotus face with lips as red as bimbo fruit remain forever in my heart. Millions of other benedictions are of no benefit to me. Hare Krishna. So, since normally when we have text in Sanskrit, we also repeat it, so we're going to repeat the, I'm already in the in translation, so let's do the translation together. Okay. Your supremely enchanting face, you can speak a little louder, because nobody's going to catch you. We'll start again. Your supremely enchanting face, encircled by shining locks of dark blue curling hair, resembles the fully blossomed lotus, tinged with a reddish luster, due to being kissed again and again by Mother Yashoda. May this vision of your lotus face with lips as red as bimbo fruit remain forever in my heart. Millions of other benedictions are of no benefit to me. Hare Krishna. Purport, or the description from Hari Bhakti Vilas. The poet, and the poet we talked about is Satyavati Muni. The poet demonstrates in this verse that longing for the association of the Lord in the heart is the best means to achieve Him. The longing to see the beautiful lotus face of the Lord, which is supremely enchanting, is stated first. Idam te mukam bojam. So that's what that means. The indescribably sweet face of Sri Krishna resembles a lotus flower in full bloom. simply by seeing his face, which is the treasure house of supreme bliss, all anxiety and distress disappear. Therefore, may that lotus face, Mukambojam, manifest within the mind, even just once, Manasya Virashtam, or again and again, Muhu, or constantly, Sada. The concept of Sada is carried over from the previous verse to give its definition, definitive conclusion in this verse. All three meanings are intended. That lotus face is always surrounded, Vritam, by curling hair, Kuntale, which is a very dark blue color, Atyanta Nile. It is tinged with a reddish hue, Rakte, and is shining, Snigha. The curling locks encircling Krishna's face bounce as he moves here and there, just as a lotus flower is surrounded by hovering honeybees. This is the meaning suggested by Vritam. His lotus face is kissed again and again by Mother Yashoda, Gopiya. The word Muhu, again and again, defines the supremely fortunate Gopi, Gopiya, who repeatedly kisses that divine lotus face, Muhus Chumbita. Further, Krishna's lotus face is adorned with crimson red lips like the Bimba fruit, Bimba Rakta Dharam. That fruit is so completely enchanting and satisfying that millions of other attainments, Lakshalabhe, are simply useless, alam. They have no value. This is the meaning of the fifth verse. Om Agyanati Vidanyasya Jnana Gyanashalakaya Chakshu Anulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaha Padantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Vita Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Sajar Sri Rupa Sakijatam Sahakana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvitam, Savaditam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Deva, Sri Radha Krishna Padaha, Sahagana Lalita Sivushakam Vitamscha, E Krishna Kamina Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatate, Gopesha Gopida Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostate, Tapta Kanchana Gurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vishabhanu Sute Devi Panamami Hari Priye, Vancha kalpat rubhischa kipasuni bidhivicha Titanam pavanevyo paishtavevyo namon maha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadhi Kora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namaha Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyadi Sitarini. Namo Mahapadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gura Chishenma Ananda Yudamaya Vigrahaya Himavya Dibacha Vishundaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chindraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chindraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chindraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chindraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So today the Kartik period continues. It's going to go on to the round Thanksgiving time. The Kartik period is a time that's one of the ISKCON gurus put it, Dhamma Maharaj said, Krishna consciousness is on sale. The entire Krishna consciousness, everything about Krishna, service to Krishna, chanting Krishna's name, is all on sale. You get far many more benefits from doing the same thing that you used to do during the Kartik period. So if you want to know, I was trying to urge you to be a little bit more enthusiastic, because I know you still gain a lot, even though you may not see now. But the transcendental system keeps track of everything. So whatever you do, it's multiplied several, the benefits are multiplied several times. So not just today, but from this time on until Kartik ends, take advantage of it. Take very big advantage of it. You may not see the results of the multiplied benefits, but when you leave your body, believe me, they will tell you, you did this, did that, did this, did during Kartik time, and that's why you got so many benefits. So, not many people have come, but those who have come have done a lot of good for themselves. This is all noted. This is transcendental system, doesn't miss anything. And it's headed by the Lord Himself, the Lord Narayana Paramatma. He's the one that keeps track of devotee activities. So, seriousness, if you take it serious, you're going to learn, you're going to earn a lot to be to your own advantage. So, to this verse, verse 5, Satyavrata Muni, high-level devotee, is talking about Krishna's enchanting face, your supremely enchanting face. And Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur has also talked about the Lord. And when we finish this, I'll also add that to it, which will finish in the guidance from the Parampara. Your supremely enchanting face, encircled by shining locks of dark blue curling hair, resembles the fully blossomed lotus, tinged with a reddish luster, due to being kissed again and again by Mother Yashoda. May this vision of your lotus face, with lips as red as bimbo fruit, remain forever in my heart. Millions of benedictions are of no benefit to me. So, Satyavrata Muni is saying, Krishna's face is supremely enchanting. Krishna, the name is all attractive, that's what it means. So, we know attraction, one of the physical features of every being, especially in the human form, we take the shape of the Lord Himself. Human beings are shaped that way. First thing a person sees another person is look at their face. If your face is very attractive, they will note that immediately. Oh, this person is very handsome, or this person is very beautiful. So, Satyavrata Muni says, your supremely enchanting face, encircled by shining locks of dark blue curling hair. Now, Lord Shiva has described Krishna's form when he gave a prayer to the Prachitas. The Prachitas left, they were very, very wealthy. They were princes, and Pachinabhayajat's sons. Pachinabhayajat is the king. And the princes, the sons of the king, obviously they lived in wealth, but they wanted to go perform austerities. They left the palace. And when they were going, Lord Shiva met up with them. Because Lord Shiva knew they were going to perform devotional service. He was very happy with them. So by the way, when Lord Shiva is contacted for things that are spiritual, he is much, much, much happier than contacting him for things in the material. So, Lord Shiva met up with them and gave them a prayer to say during their austerity. It's a long prayer, so we won't go into it, but a part of it was describing Krishna's form. And it's wonderful, it's a wonderful prayer, and since it's not fair to you to say that, we're not getting into it, but I just want to not go too far away from this particular one that Satyavrata Muni is talking about. And I've also mentioned Sri Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, so I'll talk about him also. And his description of Krishna, when one meets Krishna face to face. See, Krishna, in one sense, we have met him face to face because the deity is Krishna. And the deity is here. Lord Jagannath is here. Radha Sarabihari is here. Gaura Nitya is here, Lord Murala is Krishna. But Krishna is contacted and Krishna is appreciated based on our own level of growth spiritually. When Lord Chaitanya saw Lord Jagannath in Jagannath Puri, the first thing that happened to him was he fainted. He fainted in ecstasy. Here's my Lord. He fainted. Now, not too many of us see Lord Jagannath and faint. This is true, myself involved. So it depends. See, as we grow more and more and more spiritually, then we appreciate more. Now, see, the reason I talk about it, that poor thing. So when one meets Krishna face to face, and we're not talking about the deity, we're talking about his same self. Just like you've seen, like Satyavrata Muni is describing. In our bodies, the way it is now, when we meet Krishna and we look at his face, Vishnu Chakravarti was saying, we won't be able to contain ourselves. He is that gorgeous. He is the most gorgeous of the gorgeous. We won't be able to contain ourselves, and literally he describes that in a human body, the person that sees Krishna, now if we're talking about a conditioned soul, human body that knows about Krishna and actually meets him, they won't be able to contain themselves, they actually pass out. They will faint. Just like Lord Jagannath was seen by Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya fainted. Not only did he describe Krishna's beauty like that, that is so enchanting, we won't be able to contain it. He went on, this is Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he also went on to describe about Krishna's aroma, the aroma coming from Krishna's body. It is so sweet, it is so intoxicating, that when one smells Krishna, all the senses will merge into the sense of smell. Now, I'm just repeating, I can't even imagine everything, just wanting to know so much about Krishna's aroma. Then again, the jiva won't be able to stand the effect of it, that, again, the jiva will pass out. So in this stage of passing out, Krishna actually wakes up. The person that passes out wakes up. So the next is, Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti is describing Krishna's voice. Krishna's voice is incredible. So after wakes up the jiva, then Krishna would speak. And Krishna is speaking to the person who is meeting Krishna face to face. And this is the person who is taking Krishna consciousness very, very seriously in advance that leads to the Bhava stage. This is the kind of person we're talking about here. At least that stage. Bhava is the next to Prema. And Prema is the highest. And that person, when he hears Krishna's voice, would be so enchanted by the Lord's voice that again, he won't be able to contain himself. The senses will all merge into the sense of hearing this time. Now, then, after Krishna wakes up the person that would faint, this is the third time the person faints, then depending on the ras, the relationship that that person, the original ras that that person has in the spiritual world with Krishna, there are five rasas, then Krishna will relate to that particular person in that way. So if the person is related to Krishna in the spiritual world as a friend, then Krishna will hold his hand. If there's conjugal relationship, then Krishna would embrace like that. And so depending on the type of relationship, like that. So it's a very, 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 very wonderful time. And Sri Vishnu Chakravarti is saying that it can happen to anyone that takes Krishna consciousness seriously. It's not for a particular person or particular persons. Anyone who takes Krishna consciousness seriously can in fact get to that point where they can mistakenly reveal himself. As it says in Bhagavad Gita, Yeyatamapapadyante tamstatayavajamya, to the extent to which we surrender to him, then he rewards accordingly. And the reward is based on what he himself chooses that would excite the jiva or the devotee. So the poet Satyavrata Muni demonstrates in this verse that the longing for the association of the Lord in the heart is the best means to achieve Him. So when will I see Krishna again? This is the mantra of the gopis. When Krishna is not there, when will we see Him again? When Akrura came to take Him to Mathura, they almost passed out, all of them. So the happiness in this world, real happiness, involves connecting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the spiritual master's instruction. For us, the spiritual master's instruction is what's important. And that is the cornerstone of life as a Vaishnava. Very, very important that we go along with what the spiritual master tells us to do. Anyway, Satyavrata Muni is saying the indescribably sweet face of Krishna resembles a lotus flower in full bloom. When one sees Krishna's face, which is the treasure house of supreme bliss, now this man is a poet, so he's using words to describe the ultimate that he feels. Then when a person sees, simply by seeing his face, all anxiety and distress disappear. Now this is factually supported by the experience of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj went into the forest wanting to see the Lord because his jealous stepmother Suruchi and his actual mother Suniti had both told him that that's where the sages find the Lord, in the forest. So he went, and after his meditation and service as directed by Narada Muni, okay, the spiritual master, the Lord appeared to him. And when the Lord appeared to him, just like this is saying here, distress, anxiety, the hope to get the big planet, material planet, that he went, all of that went out the window. And the man is, you know, speaking. He went out of the door. He saw the Lord and saw the Lord face to face. The Lord purified him. And then he said, I was looking for pieces of cut glass. He compared this biggest planet that he wanted, bigger than Brahmaloka, to pieces of cut glass. And he compared meeting Krishna, Vishnu, to getting diamonds compared to cut glass. So the poet here, Satyavrata Muni, is trying to make us aware that supreme happiness comes when we see Krishna. So in Vrindavan, they were seeing him every day, and he was performing his childhood pastime, which made them very, very, very happy. So Satyavrata Muni is saying, therefore, may that lotus feet, sorry, may that lotus face manifest within the mind, even just once, or better yet, again and again and again, muhu, or constantly, sada. So he's describing, for the most part actually, Krishna, his face, and his hair, curling hair, very dark blue color. It's tinged with the reddish hue when the lotus face, okay, the color, the hair is black. The lotus face is blue. As a matter of fact, in the Garga Samhita, Krishna's blue color is described in a little more detail. So it's not just a blue, it's a shiny blue-black type. And so if you can imagine a jewel that's that color, so it has shine and a sheen to it, and then this blue, black color. What is it? I don't remember the jewel, that type of color. I think it's a jewel that describes color bluish. Anybody know? No, this is a jewel, absolute jewel. Sapphire? Is it blue?
Sapphire is yellow.
Which one is the blue one? I forget. Anyway, if you don't remember, that's okay. So because in the Gaga Samhita, they actually came up with that particular jewel color. It just escapes my mind now, but that's all right. So Krishna's very, very, very pretty face, and then the color, and then the curly locks, so, and he says, as he bounces, they move. He moves here and there, and then the hair also moves. So if you can imagine, curly hair, some of it over his face, and as he moves, and he's a very, very, very beautiful, very attractive face. So Mother Yashoda keeps kissing Krishna again and again and again and again. Well, who wouldn't in that situation with the baby that actually got good looking? Some of us with our babies that are okay compared to Krishna, we are even so taken by them, and we just very, 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 we show so much affection for the baby now, or the toddler, depending on what age. So Satyavada Muni says, this form is so completely enchanting to me that many, many other attainments don't satisfy me. They won't be of much. He says, actually, he uses a strong word. They are simply useless. They have no value for me. Krishna's face gives Krishna prema. Krishna's face gives Krishna prema. Literally, we do this. So, what should be a devotee's aim? Well, after saying all of that, we'll say, to see Krishna. A devotee's aim is Krishna prema, to love Krishna, but also to be a resident of Goloka Vrindavan, because this is where Krishna does not show himself as the Lord of Lords, but the supremely lovable object, so that you can repose your love on him in many, many different ways. Srila Prabhupada described the spiritual world. Now, this was in a, he's described in bits and bits and bits of different places. At this part, he was talking, he gave a lecture, and then in the end, people were asking questions. Some people asked about a deity, because they were not the Buddhists who were just hearing the Prabhupada for the first time. So he described the deity, and then he asked a second question, and the answer to that is what I wanted to tell you about. So Srila Prabhupada says, there may be restrictions in the material world, that's there, but in the spiritual world there are no restrictions on how to love and serve Krishna in whatever form. And this is also supported in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that we may have our original form, the Sudha Swarup, in the spiritual world, but when a devotee wants to serve Krishna in a different way, he can. And not only is it true, Srila Prabhupada went ahead to describe different ways, give examples. He said, if the devotee wants to be, this is in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, wants to be a flower, a very, 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 very wonderful, fragrant type flower, and be at the feet of Krishna when Krishna is sitting down, he says, you can do that. If the devotee wants to be an ant, so that he can be a Krishna's toe and kiss Krishna's toe, he can do that. So he gave examples like that. So, and then he went, he says, you can be a tree, you can be a river, you can be a gopi, you can be this, all of that. He says, there is no restriction. There is no restriction. So as you feel inspired to relate to Krishna in a particular way, the soul is that versatile. You can take that form in order to form and size in order to relate to Krishna that way. So how much we're missing sitting in the material world. But at least we are at least being directed by a spiritual master to the right place. So Srila Prabhupada says, we want to have fun. We want to have fun. This is true. If we had our way, we wouldn't be working hard, we wouldn't be studying, we want to have fun all the time. But then Prabhupada says, that's what they do in the spiritual world. He says, come, Krishna, come. Come join us. Come join us. Therefore, if we take Bhakti Yoga seriously, then with our effort, Krishna will be merciful towards us and then we'll get an opportunity to leave this world, this one being the last body, to leave this world and join him in the spiritual world. That's what he would like us to do. So, live according to Krishna consciousness, which is very simple. The chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Listen to as much Krishna Katha as possible, as time allows you to do that. Listen and learn from it and use it in your life, because all of these things are noted by the transcendental system, and they will help for us to grow, to grow in Krishna consciousness, keep growing in Krishna consciousness. Now, a little bit about Govardhana Puja. Krishna in Vrindavan wanted to help, so this is the aim, Krishna wanted to help Indra. Now, Indra had let all of the empowerment and responsibility that was given to him get to his head. And so when Krishna, as a young boy at that time, about 7 years old, he, in his own will, by his own will, decided to help Indra realize what his real position was. He is controller, but he's not controller of controllers. So every year, Nanda Baba, the king there, and the cowherd men and women, they do a puja to Indra for rain, because rain is important for vegetation, for the grass and the cows. Depending on the cows, they were vaishyas in cow protection, and also living, you know, based on what the cows give, milk and so on, and then they make milk products. So Krishna went to Nanda Maharaj and asked him what they were getting ready to do, why they were getting ready to do it. And Nanda Maharaj says, well, every year, my dear son, we do this puja for Indra, because he's responsible for rain, and if we do the puja for him, then he gives us rain, and we're able to subsist, you know, live nicely, because our vegetation and fruits and fruits and vegetables, as well as grass for the cows, it's all dependent on nice growing, which means the rain comes up. And then Krishna says, well, everybody, the point he made, he respectfully went against Nanda Baba's answer. He says that everybody is based, living their life based on what you do and the result from it. In other words, karma, you reap what you sow. And so if we are working in the mode of goodness, in a manner of speaking, then good things are supposed to happen to us. If we're ruining some things, then bad things can happen. But then we're doing good, living according to Mother Nature, and we are respectful to all aspects of life, now all aspects of life in the world. So why should we get what we gotta get? Why should we have to appeal to Indra to get rain? If we do things right, we are entitled to the good results. Okay? So that's the point he's making. And then he said that, but Govardhana Hill is where we take our cows every day. Govardhana Hill gives us, there are lakes there, we get water, we get grass, so many things that Govardhana Hill supports. So if we have to show appreciation, it has to be with Govardhana Hill. And so, to cut a long story short, Nanda Baba loves Krishna very much, but the ways that the Vrindavani has described Krishna's face, who wouldn't? So then he announced to the Vrindavasis that we will offer to Govardhana Hill rather than Indra. So all kinds of milk preparations, all kinds of vegetables, all kinds of eatables and sweets were prepared by Krishna's direction, and they all dressed up nicely, the men, the women, old men, children, all of that, all of them were there, and the cows were taken to Govardhana Hill. And then the activities began. Krishna assumed the side of Govardhan and he says, I am Govardhan. So all of the preparations were offered to Govardhan here, in fact, to Krishna. Krishna ate, and Krishna also, as we know from the way we offer bhoga and then in the end we have prasada. So similar happened. The Brahmins were fed, everyone was fed, they ate to their satisfaction, and then they circumambulated Govardhana and then went home. Now Indra saw everything that had happened, and he got very, very upset. He says, this is the preparation that's supposed to come to me, and now Krishna has changed the minds of everybody, they've gone along with him, and now they've done, the whole thing has been given to Govardhana. So then he decided to punish, and a serious punishment. He wanted to actually kill Krishna's devotees. So then he sent the clouds that pour rain to literally destroy everything on the planet. Samatanga clouds. And a little later you see a play about it. He sent them, go destroy Vrindavan and Krishna's devotees. So the Samatanga clouds did as they were told, and so much thunder, lightning, wind, so much distress, the place was flooding and flooding very quickly. Trees were falling, and the residents went to Krishna and says, what do we do, Krishna, please save us. Krishna says, don't worry, you will not be annihilated. Then he walked over to Govardhan Hill, lifted the hill, and supported it with the smallest finger of his left hand, and asked all the residents to come underneath. So when they did that, Indra was still pouring a lot of rain and still making the place very tumultuous in a negative way, so to speak. But then Krishna sent his Sudarshan Chakra. So his Sudarshan Chakra arrived, and Sudarshan Chakra started drying up the flood. And his Sudarshan Chakra dried up the flood quicker than the Samatanga clouds were pouring on Vrindavan, to flood it. So it got to a point where the flood level always came all the way down to the grass, to the regular ground. And as the rain was coming, the Samatanga clouds were drying, the Samatanga clouds were pouring the rain, and the Sudarshan Chakra was drying immediately. So now it became obvious to Indra that his plan wasn't going to work. And so for 7 days this went on. And the devotees got to relate to Krishna continuously for 7 days. And so Indra finally gave up. And when he gave up and ordered the Samatanga clouds to go away, then Krishna told the residents, alright, so now this storm is over, you can leave now and go back to your homes as usual. Now, they all knew Indra had done that, because they knew that the puja was normally given to him and now it was given to Govardhana, and this is what happened. So, when they left, then Indra came down to see Krishna. He realized that he had committed a maha-maha-aparad and wanted to ask for forgiveness. Krishna saw him. Krishna ignored him. He didn't even look at him. And so Indra knew that whatever he had to say, Krishna wasn't going to hear. So then Indra went looking for someone to help him, someone that Krishna would like and like to hear from. And he went to Mother Surabhi in a car and related his whole regret for what he had done to Mother Surabhi and asked Mother Surabhi to go speak on his behalf to Krishna. And Mother Surabhi, being kind, she agreed and she went and spoke to Krishna. And then Krishna, so through that, Krishna did in fact listen, but also Krishna then talked to Indra and said, you may be empowered, but your empowerment comes from me, and you have a responsibility. You give rain, not get some sort of puja offered to you before you give rain. There's no condition here. And so he described what the right consciousness of Indra was supposed to be, and forgive Indra. We forgive Indra. Now, So what do we learn from it? Well, Indra was proud of his position, and so pride is one of the things, or the six things that leads us to hell. Lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, and envy. So we have to be very careful that whatever position we're given in life, even at work, that we don't take it as a way in which we manipulate people, but a way in which we can serve people. Service should be the consciousness. Even if we don't talk about it to our, you know, co-workers or those who are under us, if we have a leadership position, then still we have to be in a mindset that we are, in fact, to make sure that everybody is served well. You may not use the word service at work, but still, you should have the consciousness that you're serving. Hare Krishna. So, any questions or comments before we go to the next part of the program? Okay, so we'll stop here then. Rantra Shimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Nitai Guru Pramanande. Oh, you had one question? You do? Okay, there is one question. Why did your mom repeat? Okay. Can you say what the difference is? I've heard Indra.
I think he's asking, why didn't Indra figure out before that Krishna is supreme?
Wonderful question. Why didn't Indra figure out before that Krishna was supreme Lord? But guess what? Lord Brahma didn't either. He didn't figure out Krishna was supreme Lord. Now, one reason is Krishna is 7 years old, right? Krishna is little. In your mind, Krishna is little. Therefore, you're looking at the Lord as a supreme Lord. If there is Krishna, he has to be the Lord of Lords. Now, they don't understand that Krishna is performing his pastime as a child. So they thought, because both Brahma and Indra, but you asked about Indra, so I'll stay with Indra. Now, Indra's case, in Indra's situation, he was very puffed up. He wanted the eatables and all of that that the residents prepared to be given to him, and not to Govardhan Hill. He wanted to be given to him because every year is given to him. This time Krishna says, give it to Govardhan Hill. So when he realized that the people were not going to give him all of the foodstuff and worship him instead, it didn't matter who Krishna was then. He was angry. When people get angry, they don't think people straight. He was angry. Yeah. So if you were there, you probably could have helped him. This is Krishna, you are angry. You know, he's the Supreme Lord. But at that time, you weren't there. I would take it, right? So he just decided, I'm going to punish them because they didn't give me what I want. See, that's not good. When sometimes you don't get what you want, it doesn't mean that you are not liked. It doesn't mean that. Sometimes when you don't get what you want, it's actually your own, it's for your own good. Sometimes some things may happen. Your parents may tell you, this one, no, my dear son, there's a good reason behind it. So Indra actually did not get all of those things offered to him. But he was actually to benefit because his pride would be put in, you know, he was getting too proud and he wasn't supposed to be proud of his position. And so that's why Krishna did that to him. But why didn't he figure out he was Supreme Lord and not do what he did? No, he was just angry because what was supposed to be offered to him was not offered to him, and it was offered to Govardhan Hill. So then he got angry. That's why. Do you understand?
Yes.
Good, good. Good question. Alright, now I know we stopped, but since he asked the question, is there any other question before we go on to the next one? Okay. Shri Prabhupada Ki, Nitai Guru Pramanande, Hare Krishna.